This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Here it is, Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Oh, Johnny Lupinacci there, Evan in the studio. Everybody out there listening, welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure you want to jump in and start talking to us. 844-967-2789. Right off the bat, haven't even put out the topic yet. However, want to start now. New with every show. Thank you to the Supreme Court for the legality. So if anybody would, you know, if you're out there and you could see this, either bow your heads, close your eyes. But I want to start the show with a prayer. Our pasta, who art in a colander, draining be your noodles. Thy noodle come, thy sauce be yum, on top of some grated Parmesan. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trample on our lawns. And lead us not into vegetarianism, but deliver us some pizza. For thine is the meatball, the noodle, and the sauce. Forever and ever, ramen. Oh, I feel better, Johnny, don't you?
Oh yeah, I mean, look, Tim, you know where I'm coming from. I'm gonna have an angle on this that's gonna be a hot take, but I appreciate anybody's prayers, especially prayers that involve my favorite foods in the world. So you're speaking both my languages tonight. You, whatever your faith is. And then on top of that, food, man, because everybody eats.
Hold on, though. Whatever your faith is. No. We're not talking about whatever faith. We are going the one, the true, the only faith, the flying spaghetti monster. That is the daily devotional to and from the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, whose participants, practicing, you know, devout, call themselves the Pastafarians. So the Pastafarians.
Preach.
Do a little preaching. You know, when it comes to the pasta, this is what we're talking about. I mean, you got to be able to lay it down, understand where the sauce is coming from, recognize that the noodle has its rights to be put down into the stomach, brought on through a tasty cheese, and then you deliver that to the people and you can feed the masses. This is what we're talking about in the Pastafarian. And, you know, Busted Pencils, people are like, Tim, this is education talk. I'm like, I know, but, you know, the Supreme Court of the United States has been so busy liberating people of faith from the downward spiraling atheistic public social communistic school systems. The idea now that we can use public monies to pay for religious schools because, darn it, it's the right of everybody. And now praying in a Friday night football game on the 50-yard line with coaches, protecting finally that coach's freedom of speech. So here we are.
What happens to the kid who doesn't pray?
Hey.
Nothing.
Hey,
that's a complicated part of this.
That's a comp. Where, you know, I'm trying to enjoy the liberation that as a practicing Pastafarian, who for the longest time has been hidden by that kind of iron curtain of atheism and communism that the public schools has insisted that I follow, now as an educator to be free to bring forth truth about the noodle and the Parmesan cheese and the pasta sauce, I'm just like, this is a day of celebration. So SCOTUS, thank you. Anybody else wants to celebrate the freedom of the flying spaghetti monster and those Pastafarians out there? 844-967-2789. It is a day to rejoice on Busted Pencils. Religious liberty in our public schools is back. And because of that, those of us Pastafarians are celebrating. Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, one, Tim, it's never gone away. Yeah. So we're kind of operating off of a premise here that there is and should be, and we can tease this apart, a separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. All right. Given that, remember, we have a Pledge of Allegiance that included into that a particular phrasing, a rewriting mm-hmm. of the Pledge of Allegiance to include God in there, and not really in a way that spoke to a diversity of mythopoetic narratives or faiths.
Wait, stop.
Hold on.
No. You got it. You used a big word, and I'm not sure us Pastafarians, mythopoetic.
I'm not sure your Pastafarian beliefs are yet mythopoetic, but I'm entertaining it.
Okay.
I think it's like satirical of mythopoetic beliefs. And mythopoetic beliefs, all human cultures have, right? And we look at it. We all have some understanding, whether it's atheism, agnostic, like the idea that we understand our existence through different stories. Mm. And I know that there are some folks I care deeply about who cringe at hearing that they're stories. There's nothing bad about them. But stories that help us to understand our purpose and our existence on this planet. Some of them are biological as well, right? We have a whole evolutionary theory, like scientific consensus around our existence that helps us understand our existence and who we are and how we behave and act towards one another on the planet. So that big word, mythopoetic narrative, is one I choose to insert when we start talking religions, because religion gets so polarized into, is it Christian or is it not? And if it is Christian, is it my kind of Christianity? And so we get into this really polarized hot debate. And that, Tim, as a teacher and as a public school educator and as having been a private school educator, has been sort of a central distraction to the core of how do we work together to learn together, to contribute to the kinds of communities that are embracing and allow for a coexistence of mythopoetic narratives without unnecessary conflicts or human rights sufferings.
Well, I got the answer. Go ahead. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm here. I want to hear about Pastafarianism, because I love you some pasta.
There you go.
Tell me about how it brings benefit for you and your participation in our community. And I'm so happy that you might be willing to share your pasta and your pasta beliefs with us at a football game, at a school function, you know? So I don't have to take your commitment to the Pastafarian as an attack on my or anyone else's in the community's mythopoetic belief system. And that's where I hold hope for our diverse communities is, man, why can't our schools be actually replications of our neighborhoods and our communities? Where I live next door to a Muslim family, and that's cool. They have their beliefs, I have mine, and together we share space, air, decisions about our community, and we disagree on some stuff. Mm-hmm. But in general, we get down on whatever it is that shares a healthy community space. And I think schools forever have kind of been this, and I do kind of poke at, you know, our government's involvement historically on forcing it one way over other diverse mythopoetic narratives, whether it's indigenous belief systems, you know, whether it's diverse world religions or different mythopoetic understandings of our cultures and our existences. I think those are important for us to embrace together in our community. Now, I know that some of my political adversaries disagree. They want it to be one religion and one religion only, and the rest are threats to that. And I worry about that, Tim.
Okay, you worry about that. I'm glad you're worried about that. I'm not really that worried about this. I'm more, again, I'm going to celebrate. You know, I got the pasta downstairs boiling in the water right now. A little bit later after the show, maybe even mid-break, I'll, you know, celebrate by putting the sauce, maybe even do it openly on, you know, Facebook Live so that people participate in the Pastafarianism. Because what I'm hoping is that by now having my ability to be able to speak openly, freely without being judged is that, you know, there's people out there who can hear the good news of the pasta, because right now there's a lot of what you're talking about, mythopoetic and all of this nonsense. I mean, you got a lot of people lost in, as you pointed out, mythologies, or as our friend, you know, Daniel Quinn and Ishmael talked about, creation myths.
That's
and
right.
See, you know, you're talking about myths, Johnny Lupinacci. I'm talking about the freedom now to talk truth. And now that I've been liberated to talk my truth, I'm not really interested in your poetic mythology nonsense. I want you to get on board. And I want the callers out there, 844-967-2789, you know, come in, give me some support, you Pastafarian flying spaghetti monster people out there, and talk about the reality is that now that we are free, we will now drop on you the truth. And when you don't understand the truth, then we've got a real problem coming up. 844-967-2789. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you're talking about kumbaya stuff, and even that bothers me, that word, because that has a connotation that that word's right. But this whole idea of coming togetherness, I see the SCOTUS as not liberating religious tolerance.
Well, here's the thing, Tim.
Okay.
Because we got a show about spaghetti on the week that SCOTUS made a clear statement on, like, the subjugation of our female identifying biologically, you know, brother, like, sisters and family members and friends. So the other assumption here is that we actually think the SCOTUS is a defender of any real democracy. Okay. So we're running on a lot of premises here that, one, you know, there's a separation of church and state, and two, that the SCOTUS is in place to support democracy, to support diversity and coexistence together in a free world. There is nothing free about the decisions that the SCOTUS is putting out into the world right now and kind of historically. And so, like, I'm saying the unpopular thing here is, like, based on the premise here, you know, I don't hold much hope for what the SCOTUS has to say about our democracy.
Well, I tell you what, though, talking about this, the freedom of religion, the separation of church and state. In fact, when we get back, we're going to talk about that separation of church and state, because that is such an enshrined thing. I love it. More Busted Pencils after the break.